I'll let everyone know that there'll be an audio recording of the meeting that'll become available in due course. I ask council members if they foresee any potential conflict of interest with an item on the agenda. Councillor Valescu? Yes, please use microphones at all times. Thanks. You would if it was working. See if the next one works.
Yeah, just a general conflict of interest with the Southern Suburbs Amendment. As it's just putting it out for consultation, I don't see an actual conflict, but I would like it recorded that I acknowledge that there's the potential further down the track.
Yes, that appears to be the legal position confirmed, that when we're putting it out for consultation, the fact that somebody might own property in the southern suburbs of the city of Marion doesn't mean that they have an actual conflict of interest, but they may choose to declare a general conflict of interest, and then they may choose to either stay in the room for the debate or not, as they see fit. Councillor Crossland, you're in the same boat?
Yes, Your Worship, same boat for me, same general conflict.
Very, very well. Councillor Naismith and Councillor Mates as well. Thank you. Councillor Luscombe. And I take it then you're all taking the same position, perceived conflict, stay in the room for the voting. It's entirely up to you, but it's just good for governance to know in advance. Thank you for that. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last general council meeting? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hoffman. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, with the elected member communications, in terms of verbal communications, can you please explain the standing orders? Thanks, Ms. McKenzie.
Yes, through the chair. In regards to the elected member verbal communications, members are permitted to speak for up to 2 minutes at the second meeting from the month of February, which means this meeting isn't a speaking meeting. It will come in June.
Sorry about those who were disappointed in that, but June, it'll keep. So other than that, there are written reports. Would someone like to move they be accepted? Moved Councillor Mates, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we come up to a deputation from Mr. Chris Glasson of the Huntington's Association. So, Mr. Glasson, you have 5 minutes. I know that staff provided you with the opportunity to give us. If you give that to Mr. Keane, our acting chief executive, he'll take charge of those and give them out. So you have the 5 minutes. And perhaps I'll just, in case it has any bearing on what you want to say, I do want to reinforce that any consideration of the lease of council facilities bears no adverse reflection on the Huntington's Association. We know the good work you do and are very happy to hear more about it. Thank you.
That's it. You're all.
Okay, good. Thank you. So my name is Chris Glasson. I'm currently the Treasurer and Secretary of Huntington's South Australia here. And before I start, I really do want to thank the Marion Council for the last 5 years that we've had of the lease at the FitzJames Building at the Glandore Community Centre. It has been a godsend for us, and the great work we do in our association would not have been possible at all if it hadn't been for the great generosity and the support of the council. We really, really heartfeltly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Our association, along with, thank you, six other state and territory associations, is in the process of merging into one single national entity, which is called Huntington's Australia. that organisation will commence its operations on, ironically, the 1st of October, which is the first date of the new lease, if we are successful in obtaining it. Huntington's Australia is a company limited by guaranteed, registered with ASIC and with ACNC as a charity. And I'm the inaugural chair of that company. Huntington's disease is a rare and not very well known disease. I don't know if anybody here is actually aware of it. One of our goals is to make it a rare and well known disease because information is power, and power helps people control their lives and have say in their lives. HD, Huntington's disease, we call it HD, is a genetic degenerative neurological condition. It's genetic, as in it's handed down from parents, so you get a 50-50 chance of whether you get the gene or not. It's degenerative in the fact that it's progressive, so it slowly gets worse. It generally onset is in midlife, somewhere in 30s and 40s. And as I said, just progressively gets worse. There are cases of late onset, and there are some cases of juvenile Huntington's disease. That's not particularly common in Australia, but it is in other countries. But it's quite distressing to see in young people the impacts of Huntington's disease. So it affects the cognitive, physical, and emotional state of the functioning of the brain. By cognitive, I mean impaired judgment, difficulty in thinking clearly. Physical is usually involuntary movements of arms and legs. It used to be called the dancing disease. But it ends up being loss of control of all muscles. So eventually you can't walk, can't stand up, can't talk, can't swallow, can't anything. And then the psychological symptoms include fluctuations in mood and emotional responses, depression, anxiety, and in more serious cases, violence and addiction. Once symptoms become obvious, a person's life becomes marked by loss. Usually, firstly, loss of employment, and then spirals down to loss of economy, loss of independence, loss of driver's license, generally loss of relationships, marriages, properties, loss of bodily functions, and then eventually loss of life. We often see incredible dysfunction created in families. We see breakdown, violence, addictions, creating very complex problems and trauma for everyone involved, including children. Whilst we do a lot of work with families and allied health services, we also do a lot of work with families and correctional services, the justice system, family community services, child protection services as well. It affects not only one person in a family. Because it's genetic, there are often a number of people in the family who have symptoms. We often say that having HD is like having Parkinson's disease, motor neurone, and dementia all rolled in together. And then compounded again by the fact that there are multiple people in the family with the disease. I said before that it's rare. So because of that rareness, it's not well known. And because it's not well known, it is generally rife through a family before somebody even knows it exists. I draw your attention to what I've provided. There's a pretty rough mud map of my HD family tree. Through the five generations since we've discovered the disease in our family. And you can see from that diagram how it goes through a family. My grandfather is the first generation, and my mother and her siblings is generation two. They both had late onset, and so by the time it was diagnosed, it was through our family. You can see it's a large family. There is a large number of people already with HD, and there are a large number of people who are at risk who have not yet been tested.
Well, thank you, Mr. Glasson. Very touching and informative presentation. I appreciate that. Now, you may, I'll just check if there are any questions from councillors. Yes, Councillor Valescu.
I guess I was just wondering if there's anything further that you would like to add through the chair in regards to the lease? The topic has been covered and that's been very helpful. We'll be deciding on the lease. So I guess if you've got anything further you wish to add on that, I'd be happy to hear it.
I guess I was setting the scene to say that we provide, and we are the only ones who provide, a range of services for people with HD and their families, from outreach, triage, through supporting them through a whole range of issues that they deal with. We don't receive any government funding, and the premises we have to have, because you can't run a charity without premises. And so it's essential for us to continue on providing those services.
All right, thank you. Now, if the items on the agenda are adjourned and not dealt with this evening, then I'm sure the staff who suggested the deputation option will keep you informed about when it's coming back. But that remains to be seen. But for now, I invite you to take your place in the gallery, if you wish. And it shouldn't be long before we get into those items. So now, would one of the councillors like to move confirmation of those two committee sets of minutes on pages 24 and 34? Councillor Crossland, Councillor Hoffman. There are no questions. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, we do have a couple of confidential items, but they, because we have members of the public with an interest in some of these matters, with your leave, I could move that to the end of the meeting. If there's no, Councillor Naismith, did you wish to comment? Yep, right. I'm just seeing if there's any objection, because otherwise I'll take that as the permission of the meeting. Thank you. So let us move that to the last item of business, those two confidential matters. That brings us to public submissions on the draft annual business plan, which is at page 43 with plenty of material. Now, we must allow an hour for members of the public to come in and make submissions if they wish. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on the draft budget now? If not, that's fine. We'll just hold that place, deal with other business, and come back to that item. So then we have, I'm going to bracket these two, items 12.2, 12.3, the Huntington's lease and the Marion Heritage Research Centre, both council facilities. In light of the confidential email that was sent around late last week, does anyone wish to adjourn the matters? If not, we'll deal with them. Councillor Valescu, you wish to move that way? I've taken advice from staff that a suitable date might be no later than July for these items to come back, and it means that if there's specific date and time. There's one meeting in July, so what's that date, please?
July 25th.
And then I'm just checking with Ms. McKenzie that there's no impediment if there's further information that we need and comes back earlier, that can be done. Well, then, so would it have been better to leave the matter laying on the table? Well, I think under this, because there's some interest in it, we do need to deal with it. I've had motions to adjourn it. And I'm just, as you can hear, I'm just discussing with governance that it may be more appropriate to move that the matter lay on the table, which means that it can be reactivated at any time that's suitable. So if the mover and seconder are happy to withdraw the motion to adjourn, it's a very technical issue, but instead of a fixed date, that means it remains available to us to revive those items when we have the information we need. So, Councillor Verska, you're happy to move that these two items lay on the table, moving that en bloc. And that was seconded. Anyone? Councillor Masika? For those who wish for the matter to be deferred in that way, please raise your hands. Those that is carried unanimously. Very well. So those matters will come back pending some further investigation. So, Mr. Glasson, that's all we can show you tonight. And as I said, staff will be in touch with you when the matter comes back on for discussion. And you may leave if you wish. We'll be here for a little while yet, but don't feel that you have to stay, but yeah, of course you're welcome to if you wish. That brings us to the Verge Incentive Fund. On Councillor Masika, page 193.
Yes, Worship, I'd like to move the motion as printed on the screen. And for the reason of moving the motion, we know that the previous council term that the residents wish to see that those verges being maintained, remain clean and tidy. And the funds, according to the report, it was used, although not all of it, but it will be rather good to continue with the same funding to make sure that those verges are being maintained and well looked after, because the council doesn't have resources to tend all of them. But those who wants to make them clean, tidy, and it looks good, they can be supported halfway to do that. And also a support point number two, because there are some houses at the corner which have two fronts, one or two streets. So it's really good this time. We've identified that issue and we're quite happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Masika. And I just add to that that this is for not only the rebate allocation, but also resources for administration of the fund. Councillor Naismith, you're seconding?
No, just a quick point. It says $1,500 on the allocation for resources.
Yep. So it's meant to be $15,000. In the agenda, there was a zero missing. So I think the comma's in the right place, but you are quite correct. No, that's what we like, people reading the agenda. And you're quite right in that relation, in that regard. Councillor Crossland?
I'd like to second it, if I may, Worship, and just to endorse what Councillor Masika said. Look, a great initiative that staff started. It's getting some great results, and it's a very reasonable price. So well done to staff, and I look forward to hearing about the great work that's happened in the review in 5 years' time.
Indeed, and whoever came up with the idea, great idea. So any further debate? Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, just curious if any staff members would like to give an update on the value proposition of the project so far, what they've seen.
Well,
the,
that's
the
a fair benefit. Question. We've got Mr. Jaggard here, I think. Or, yep. It's up to management who speaks, but Mr. Jaggard might be the appropriate officer. So from your point of view, Mr. Jaggard, is this fund worthwhile?
Through the chair, absolutely. I believe this fund is definitely worthwhile. I mean, before we embarked on this program over 12 months ago, there were a number of verges around the city that we could see that I guess there wasn't a lot of love being put into the verges. And we do have a lot of passionate residents out there that want to put some effort into doing their verges and beautifying them. And so I do believe that it's a really good program, because it does encourage these residents. It gives them incentive to actually develop the verge, not only develop it, but then also take care of the verge afterwards. So, 100%. I mean, when you go through the report, you can see there's been like 146 applications. We've provided 64 rebates, I know there's still 82 rebates outstanding. Some of that's due to people need to hand their receipts in, but also we're coming into the winter period because we weren't really trying to encourage residents over summer to do planning over those periods of time. So, 100% think that it's a great initiative.
Any other questions? Councillor Telfer?
Yes. I was interested in that figure, the 64 and the 146. So is that just a timing issue, or do we say to some people, no, you can do it yourself?
Through the chair. It is a little bit around timing. So because of the summer period, people putting their application in and they haven't followed up to do the work, then a part of it also is to do with resetting. So people, some of those people would have done the work, but they haven't handed their receipts back in. So a little bit around the sort of timing. So there hasn't been, from what I'm aware of, really too many applications not back at all. I think it's been a really positive thing.
Any other questions? I didn't hear anyone speaking against, so I'll just put that to the vote. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you, and thanks, Mr. Jaggard, for your help. On page 201, we have the Southern Suburbs Residential Rezoning. And I'll remind councillors, this did come to us in March this year in substantially identical form, but what has changed is the report and some of the surrounding description to make it easier for residents to understand and councillors to understand. So I would like to compliment staff on the improved, simpler language of the report that comes to us, and obviously that's available to the public. But other than that, it's up to you, councillors, how you wish to proceed. Are there any questions or someone wishes to move? Councillor Luscombe.
Through the chair, I just have a question, which I know I've already asked, but for the benefit of members, I was just hoping that perhaps Mr. Jellicombs might be able to elaborate a little bit more on making it even more accessible for residents. Thanks.
Mr. Jellicombs.
Thank you, through the chair. Happy for that question. So as presented tonight, members, what you've got is the technical document, which we'll review again. I've already noticed a couple more improvements that can be made of a minor nature in terms of the actual policy document itself. Thanks to members who've pointed that out. And in terms of the community engagement, what you've got here tonight is the overall plan and intent about the messages that are going to be conveyed. What you haven't got is all the detail of the comms and marketing material, which we're going to now work on if successful tonight in getting council's endorsement to progress. We're going to be working with our comms and engagement team, our GIS team, in terms of potentially looking at interactive mapping that can be used, as well as making sure that people without access to technology can still view the document and have their say across our sites.
Thank you. Councillor Mates.
Thank you. I think it's when we go out to consultation, we do need to be really, really clear on what's articulated to our residents. So I was just wondering whether we could include that. I know originally there was a heat map that was included in the original document that we received as to the uptake levels, so people are aware and it's transparent. I was wondering if we could note that be included as part of the consultation documents, and whether we could also note that we ensure that all residents receive postal mail. We have a number of elderly residents in a lot of these areas, so I just think it's very important that that's clearly documented.
Now, then the question is whether that be included as a motion, but it probably does have a financial implication, so not a bad idea to included in the motion.
Can I just clarify, Chair, whether we're talking about all residents or all affected residents?
That's correct, affected residents.
Very good. So just have a look at the wording on the screen there. Where it says with the following amendments, it maybe just needs to say with a heat map to be included and all affected residents to receive, etc. A copy of the postal mail. Yeah. Oh, hang on. A copy of the rezoning proposal via postal mail. Or, yeah, same thing. Sorry, I talk in plain English a lot. All right, making sure that Councillor Mates, you're happy with that. Mr. Delacombe's suggestion.
I'm happy with the changes.
The issue is probably whether, see, at the moment, that says that the, whatever it is, 40 or 50 page document be posted out to everyone. So that's why I was saying rezoning proposal, which could be taken as a decipherable description of the proposal, which might not be 50 pages, might be 5 pages. Marketing collateral is another suggestion we're hearing. Shut up. I don't know what that means, but Councillor Crossan, do you have a suggestion just on that point before we move on?
It is connected to that. So on the engagement approach, which I think is page 258, it does say that we are going to make hard copies available at libraries, drop-in sessions, et cetera, et cetera. So I think your proposals would work as long as it does include a line to say where the hard copies can be viewed. For those residents that want to see the hard copies, because we are apparently going to be having hard copies available in all these public buildings.
Right. So just going back to Councillor Mates, whose suggestion this was, is it enough to alert all of the residents by post that there are these hard copies available for inspection, in your view?
Yeah, yes. I agree with that approach. I'm happy for it to be a one-page letter indicating that there are changes, and if they want further information, then where they can obtain that information from.
Through the chair, may I suggest an invitation to participate in the engagement, to receive an invitation to participate in the engagement proposal via postal mail, and we'll include relevant details.
That sounds fair, and the details, of course, become operational after that, and. I think we can trust staff to take account of the suggestion this evening. All right. And so are you moving that way, Councillor Mates?
Yes, I'm happy to move it as written.
Very well. And would you like to speak to it?
I think this has been going around for a number of years, I understand. So I think it's time to put it out to the community consultation and see what the community's take is on it. And that's why I'm moving the motion.
Seconded. Councillor Naismith, anything to add?
No, I live in the same zone. Yes, actually, yes. and we got a similar thing when I moved in there about 18 years ago, and we looked into it, and so we got notified, and there was, you know, in the end, it wasn't a decision for us that had to be made. The council made the decision on rezoning at that time, but I think as long as the community is consulted, which is like what a number of us came to this council as a big important thing, that the consultation is 100% up there, then that is fantastic.
Thank you. Councillor Telfer, it's been moved and seconded.
Just a quick question. On page 205, it's a bit trivial, but gradients controlled by code. Could we have all the semicolons a bit clearer? Because it's easy to read those as 18, 18, 14, etc.
Mr. Della Coombs, you've got that. Thank you. So thanks for the comment. Any other questions or opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we move on to page 263, the Animal Management Plan Community Consultation Results. And just bearing in mind, folks, that if the motion is carried, then the next step is to submit to the Dog and Cat Management Board for their approval. So it's not entirely in our control. Councillor Telfer?
Can I just suggest a very quick extra wording? Endorses the animal management plan, including any minor amendments, because I have some trivial amendments, which I don't need to go through tonight, but I'm suggesting we put in the words with any minor amendments.
And Councillor Telfer, do you mean sort of clerical and clarity?
Yeah.
Sort of?
I do.
Can we include with any minor editorial amendments? Councillor Telfer, are you happy with that? All right. And you're moving that way, are you?
If the animal management plan.
Speak to it if you wish.
This matters to so many people in our community. They are so interested in the management of dogs and cats. It's not straightforward. We work to please as many people as we can. We work to be as just as we can about these things. We also need to make rules for our staff so that they understand where their parameters are. And the whole issue of off-leash and on-leash is in the table at the end, and that itself hopefully is useful, though I see many people that don't know that rule or ignore it. But we look forward to this animal management plan going forward.
Is that seconded? Councillor Luscombe.
Thank you, through the chair. Happy to second the motion. I think I was particularly pleased by strategy for the de-sexing of dogs and cats, where an action's been included to explore opportunities for subsidised de-sexing for concession card holders and low-income earners. I thought that was a good addition based on the feedback that had been provided. So grants and funding will be explored for those initiatives. So I'm happy to second the motion, given that it's and it's also included some information about managing rabbits as well. So that's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or speaking against? Councillor Vlescu?
Yeah, I've got a question on a couple of topics, three topics. Two simple ones. Happy to take those on notice, put them on notice. We can get a response via email, and that's in regards to the rubbish. Apparently, the feedback here says that some of the rubbish isn't cleaned up by our contractors, and also the issue of poo bags. But the issue I would like to raise here would be larger dogs. There seem to be several items of feedback about concerns about de-sexing larger dogs at 6 months. So I'm just wondering if you can get some advice on that. And also, if it is an issue, can we actually be proactive? If we know the dog breed at time of registration, could we actually put something out there saying, you know, that and make it an easy process for an exemption where it applies, and invite that and invite people to have an easy process when it applies for large dogs? Because some of the feedback says here, and I'm taking it on face value, says it's not an easy process. So that's what I'd want to know a little bit more about, and if appropriate, included.
I would like to answer that.
Thank you. Through the chair, can I just clarify from the councillor which comments specifically? Is there a page number reference we can, just so we can have the full context of the information?
Sure. 301 has got a couple. 294 and 293 both have comments about large dogs desexing, indicating some developmental issues and some health issues.
Look, in a general sense, council takes advice on desexing rates from the Dog and Cat Management Board and standard practices. If there are specific cases, I have heard some breeders proffering information that may be counter to potentially veterinary advice. So that's where there can be some confusion in the community. I guess I can assure council that whatever plans that we do have and recommendations and guidelines, they are approved by the Dog and Cat Management Board, which obviously contains the relevant experts in that field. And I'm happy to look into these further if there are specific examples. I don't think there's any changes that would need to occur in the plan as it is, but I'm happy to provide further clarification on that.
Councillor Wiske, happy? Any other questions? It's been moved and seconded, no opposition. So I'll simply put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we can move on to this is a proposal to release an item in confidence. Now, for ease of progress, I just want to ask if anyone opposes the item in advance, because the reason I say that is because if there needs to be open debate about it, and it may or may not end up with the confidentiality order lifted, then we would need to go into confidence to have the debate. So I just want to sound you out informally, councillors, if anyone does have concerns about releasing it. Councillor Bulescu?
I just have a question. It comes on the white papers of my agenda, which means that it's all out there anyway.
Well, the material in the white paper, there is a discussion paper there, which certainly tells the public what it's about. But there might be further details that remain confidential. But if people are happy to proceed on this open basis, then we can simply go ahead. If somebody would like to move a motion, Councillor Bulescu, to speak to the motion itself.
I think it's good that the public sees what's happened.
Good. Is it seconded? Councillor Hoffman. Anything further to add, Councillor Hoffman? No. No one's speaking against. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. That's actually a very positive news story. An area which was lacking in open space, where we've bought three residential blocks so that it can be transformed into a park. That's wonderful. Page 362, the budget review. Any questions? Then let's proceed. If someone would like to move the motion, it is essentially to adopt the budgeted statements. Moved Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Telfer. Any discussion or questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to a report on Mayor's Multicultural Forums. Because this one has come up some time ago, it might be worth brief history, is that the Mayor had various initiatives that were adopted by staff in different areas. And subsequently, they were adopted, as you can read there, as part of business as usual in various areas, such as the some of the musical offerings we have, the outdoor pool, business forum, etc. So this is really just closing a chapter on the original initiatives, and it's acknowledging that we're including people of different backgrounds in these various activities. But any questions, welcome. Otherwise, you may simply wish to move as suggested on page 378. Moved Councillor Masika. Any comment? Seconded Councillor Crossland, I think. No comment. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. All those against? Sorry, I'll just try that one more time. All those in favour, raise your hand. Oh, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. No, I always like to check these things. Now, Councillor Singh did ask for leave of absence for this meeting on the basis that he's got a... He didn't mind me telling people because he's has an audience with the Prime Minister of India in Sydney. So I thought that was a pretty fair reason, but it's up to you, members, if you'd like to grant him a leave of absence. Moved Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Crossland. There's no discussion. Then all those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we are at the point where we must keep the meeting going for about another half an hour. The only items remaining other than the public submissions on the budget are the two confidential items. So it is obviously sensible to now return to those items if the meeting agrees, even though we're not quite at the end of the meeting. So if no one objects to that, we'll go into confidence. And because those matters do have a bearing, some of the discussion may have a bearing on the employment details of our one and only employee, the chief executive, it's always appropriate to go into confidence with those matters. So if there's no objection, we now come to go back to page 41, and they are confidential matters. So members of the public, I must kindly ask you to remove yourselves for the discussion we're about to have. Thank you. The motion to go into conference is moved. Councillor Telfer for those two items, seconded Councillor Crossland. No one against. All those in favour, those two items going into conference, raise your hand. Yes, that is unanimous. Thank you. So microphones off for the remainder of the discussion. Thank you. At 7:44, having given 1 hour for public submissions on the draft annual business plan, and finding that there are no submissions this evening, I can now close the meeting, and I thank everyone for their attendance. What I mean is we still have to formally move that motion, which appears on page 42. Noting the lack of feedback. Moved Councillor Vlescu, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. That really is the end of the meeting. Thanks.